Pleased to have another episode of Now and New here as part of WQKT. And this is a topic that we started to cover last week in a different perspective. John Bozica along with you, and that is some of the new legislation involving concealed carry and some of the other laws involving firearms and weapons here in the state of Ohio, and what it means for different things moving forward, and how it could play, I guess you could say, a large effect in some of the crimes that we see, some of the things we see here in the state, and some of the concerns people have. To talk about it, we bring in Michaela Deming to the program. And Michaela, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So this new law, this new amendment, this entire discussion that's going on, Michaela, you know, it has so many people concerned. I guess I want, from your perspective, being in the position that you are in, why you feel this is such a point of emphasis of concern.
Yeah, so I think it's important to mention that most of the bills being considered, and definitely House Bill 227, are all making a big assumption. And they all say that anyone who can lawfully have a gun would continue to be able to do so without any of these additional requirements that exist in the law. What they don't bring up is the reality that people currently in Ohio can lawfully carry under Ohio state law, but are prohibited from carrying firearms or possessing firearms under federal law. And that creates a whole lot of confusion.
Michaela Deming is my guest. She is an attorney with the Ohio Domestic Violence Network. And, you know, some of these things that are considered, what do you think it would lead to then? What do you think some of the concerns are that this could lead to, that we could be headed down a path of? I know I had on someone from the Catholic Conference of Ohio last week, and they were concerned about some different things. But what are some of your concerns?
Right. So my concern, we released our fatality data, and that is everyone who's killed in a domestic violence-related incident in a year's time. We just released our data from the last year, and we see consistently, and we saw last year again, that 86% of the fatalities related to domestic violence in Ohio are perpetrated with guns. And that's high above the national average. And we know that a large number of those folks who had the firearms, who committed these fatalities, were otherwise prohibited from having those firearms. And so the concern is, we already have people with firearms that are federally disqualified, right? They are not allowed legally to have a firearm. As we propose to remove, background checks, any screening process at all, we end up with more people who are disqualified from owning and possessing firearms with those firearms. And this is a twofold problem, and I want to tease out both sides. One, we know that those guns are used in fatalities. They're used in homicides and suicides against domestic violence victims and the perpetrators themselves. So we lose lives. We lost 15 kids' lives last year, again, firearms and domestic violence. On the flip side of that, we have people who legitimately believe that they are lawful gun owners, and they're not. If they were to ever get picked up by the FBI, by ATF, any federal agent, they would stand to serve a significant amount of time in federal prison. And they don't want that either. But that's a direct result of this confusing mix of state and federal law. So they could believe that they're lawful gun owners and not be, and end up facing prison time. And on the flip side, on the victim side, we end up with a greater loss of life.
Again, speaking about House Bill 227, Senate Bill 215 here in the state of Ohio, which contains some important differences, which would waive some of those permitting requirements and some of the training that we would see here in the state. And I think that's kind of crazy, Michaela, as in the last year, I remember even hearing times where I think even the governor and some of the other key members of Ohio legislation and Ohio government have made statements about increasing background checks, increasing the ability for permits to play a bigger role in this. How did we go from one extreme to the other now where people are saying just do away from them?
Yeah, I don't know that I can completely understand how the politics are working. We have the mass shooting in Dayton. Again, somebody with a history of violence against women, which we see in a lot of mass shootings. We see, as I mentioned, we had 131 fatalities. That's a 62% increase in fatal domestic violence incidents in the last 2 years. And so we see that there are some direct links that could lend themselves to some really common sense limiting of firearms by people we know to be more dangerous to society as a whole and to their specific victims. And then we see, this opposing force of groups and legislators who want to do away with any limitation, any check to make sure that the people who are possessing those firearms are indeed lawfully doing so. So I think there is, there's some confusion in the rhetoric. Even when you read House Bill 227, it says they have to be lawful gun owners. And yet, we look at state law decisions, we look at the state statutes, and we've got this confusion between state and federal law, where the state says, sure, have your firearm if you're a domestic violence misdemeanant. Have your firearm if you have a protection order against you. Federal law says absolutely not. And it's very clear and has been adjudicated by all of the circuit courts, including the ones that cover Ohio. These laws really don't fully appreciate the legal situation that gun owners are in the state of Ohio, let alone the people who would be on the fatal end, of course, of somebody having a firearm that shouldn't have one.
It's Michaela Deming, who is my guest, an attorney with the Ohio Domestic Violence Network. And Michaela, I know that a lot of people probably listening to this at this point are saying, well, I don't want people to take away my guns, my firearms. And right. And I guess to play the devil's advocate of both sides, I just said, well, weren't there more calls for stricter gun laws? Well, there are people out there who are saying, I am a law-abiding gun owner, and I have done nothing wrong to qualify myself to not own my firearm. What do you say to someone who is on that end of the spectrum now?
Yeah, so I don't think that anything that I'm talking about would affect them, right? And so if they have to go through a background check to confirm that they are indeed a law-abiding gun owner, then nothing is impeding them from doing so, right? We have to do the same to drive a car, to practice a number of jobs. We have to have a license. We got to, go through a test, whatever those things are. I think that there is a lot of good that can be done, though, in separating them out. A lawful, law-abiding gun owner from folks that are not. And they seem to get all lumped together with people who, again, might believe that they are a law-abiding gun owner, but I would think that those folks might appreciate finding out that they are not law-abiding gun owners so that they can address that situation before they end up in prison. May not have ever really known that they couldn't own that gun, but a background check would have said, no, you can't. And so I would think that law-abiding gun owners would agree that in order for them to be in the best situation, that people who are not law-abiding gun owners should not have them. And a background check process is absolutely a way to make sure that those folks don't have the guns, right? They get put on notice immediately that they can't have those firearms, and we can begin the process to make sure that we're really weeding out folks who are allowed to have guns lawfully, who could continue to do so, and those who cannot.
Last question for Michaela Deming this morning is this. I guess I wonder, and again, Michaela Deming, the Ohio Domestic Violence Network attorney, you know, I guess I wonder this, with what we're currently seeing out of these two different bills, the one in the House, the one in the Senate, some of the national things, do you think we're headed down a dangerous path here that could have dire repercussions if something is not done soon?
Again, we can already see in our numbers here, and I'm going to leave this real specific to domestic violence here in Ohio. We outpace the country in domestic violence fatalities with firearms involved. We are on an upswing, 62% increase in domestic violence fatalities in the last couple of years. And we know that many of the folks who perpetrated those crimes were not able to lawfully possess their own firearm, and they did anyway, and it resulted in death. And the majority of the 15 young people under the age of 18, young children killed in domestic violence fatalities, those were perpetrated by people with firearms. Again, people sometimes with histories of domestic violence who were not lawful gun owners. And so the further away we move from making sure that people who cannot lawfully own a gun under federal law or state law, that are not informed of that, that we don't have a process to have those guns removed, then I absolutely believe that we are not only going to, you know, see these numbers rise, but we're definitely not going to see them fall. We're not going to see lives saved in Ohio from the removal of firearms, from the exclusion of people having firearms that we know are at a dramatically increased risk of creating those fatalities.
Again, Michaela Deming, an attorney with the Ohio Domestic Violence Network. Michaela, I appreciate the time this morning, the discussion, and everything else as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.